tonight's topic, being so close to Christmas in approximately three sleeps, is the meaning of Christmas symbolism. And it's a really good opportunity to talk about this, given that it's going to be Christmas Day soon, the 25th of December. And it doesn't really matter whether you celebrate or celebrate this particular day, this particular holiday, or if you don't, because it gives this festive event a different or a deeper meaning than you may have heard elsewhere. And it was only after I had started the Gnostic teachings and understood what the symbolism of this event really means that I had a better appreciation of it. Coming from a family that didn't really traditionally celebrate this day, I now do appreciate it from a different perspective. I think that most people would realise and accept that Christmas has become an over-commercialised event or tradition of buying gifts for one another, getting together, eating a lot of food on either Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, and then possibly getting into an argument or two with the family. So it seems to be like a very common scenario that you hear of or hear people joking of. And particularly this year, Christmas falls on a full moon, so it definitely is worth paying heed to this, because we know from past talks that when the moon is full, we are more energized. Our subconscious is more energized, and yes, we are susceptible to acting a bit strange or out of normal. So yeah, something to keep in mind, so to minimise any potential conflicts that might be happening at your Christmas lunch this year. But yeah, so in the whole hustle and bustle of buying gifts, wrapping them, hiding them from people, from the kids, buying food, making sure the house is clean and ready for guests, in all this activity, we can totally forget the spiritual meaning of this day. And how highly esoteric or spiritual it really is. And I think we, most people, would learn and understand that Christmas is about celebrating the birth of Christ, yes. But in today's talk, the summary of which is to show or to teach that Christmas is the actual celebration of the birth of an intelligent, of a compassionate, a very revolutionary force within ourselves. So this force is latent in all of our atoms. It is present everywhere. It's present in the breath, in our food, everything that exists in creation is present in a latent form, ready to be awakened within ourselves. And this birth of the cosmic Christ is an event that happens on all planets of the solar system, and it's said to be a very ancient drama or event. And the true symbolism of Christmas represents the awakening and rejuvenation of a cosmic force within us. So it's quite a different way of looking at this time of year. Now, this is the Christ force, and the Master Samael says, even if Christ were to be born 1,000 times in Bethlehem, it would be worthless if he were not also born in our hearts. So it's quite interesting. He also says on this topic of Bethlehem, because that is the town that the Christ is said to have been born, or Jesus Christ, and continuing on, The sacred scriptures clearly speak about Bethlehem and a stable where he is born. Bethlehem itself is an esoteric name. The village of Bethlehem did not exist in those times when the great Kabir Jesus came into the world. So Bethlehem is entirely symbolic. Bel is a Chaldean root word that means tower of fire. Therefore, properly speaking, Bethlehem is a tower of fire, which causes us to reflect even deeper on this, the symbolism here of awakening the fire within us. So we, it through our own work takes us to this place where we can actually awaken this force. And this fire is also known as the fire of Kundalini and also the Christ fire. So the word Inri actually translates into fire regenerates or rejuvenates nature incessantly. So through this fire, we are continually rejuvenated. And that's something that we all have within us, as I said, latent there to awaken. So what this is saying or meaning is that we need to recreate this nativity within ourselves, within our heart. And we do this by awakening this tower of fire. So also we have to understand that the Christ being born in Bethlehem to a virgin mother is a symbolic process. So we go through this process and we awaken this cosmic Christic force within us. Eventually, it's not something that's instantaneous. That is the end goal that we aim to do in this work. So there are many examples in other traditions where this Christ force has been born. So in the Egyptian tradition, we have Osiris, we have a Gautama Buddha, Attis in the Greek tradition, Krishna in the Hindu tradition. We also have Dionysus, Hermes Trismegistus, the Hermes thrice great, John the Baptist, Mithra, and there's many more examples in history that of people, of masters that have worked to incarnate this force and to progress on their spiritual path in this way. So the process is not exclusively a Christian tradition. So having said that and talking about this in a symbolic way, it's not saying that the man Jesus of Nazareth was not born over 2,000 years ago. It's not saying this at all. It's just showing us something a lot deeper to this event than that we may realize, and something that's more universal. So it's said that we adore the Christ statue instead of the Christ substance. So we get so carried away with everything that Jesus Christ, or really any master that has done this work and is showing us this work, sometimes we idolize them too much and we don't really connect with that Christ substance and realize that we actually can work to incarnate that force within us. And not in a way that's like making ourselves better than these masters, not at all. But it is an empowering force that we can connect and work with. So the Christ is said to be beyond the I, beyond individuality. It's quite a non-discriminatory force. So in authentic esotericism, the Christ is the solar logos. Our physical sun is a symbol of our spiritual sun, the Christ sun. So traditionally we see sun worshippers, and you see them particularly in hieroglyphs. I have one in mind where people are like venerating the sun and holding their hands up to absorb that solar force into their hands, because it's said to be chakras in the hands, and it goes in and assimilates in the body. And so these sun worshippers are actually worshipping that cosmic Christic force within. So that physical sun that we couldn't live without, that gives us the force and the light to live on this earth. It is a symbol of our own inner sun, our own Christ sun. So it's said that all religions celebrate their own versions of Christmas. So that way of connecting with that force is universal, is cosmic even. Okay, so we'll go to a short music break, and I've chosen a piece from the CD Ancient Egypt, which I thought was quite, topical, given it's Christmas. And this track's called The Lamentations of Isis, which isn't quite so appropriate, given that Isis is representing that divine feminine force, which Mary, the mother of Jesus, also represents. And she probably wouldn't be lamenting before her birth, although possibly if she couldn't find a place to give birth, but we know that she does. So we'll be back after this short music break. And we're back on the Gnostic Waves. That was a track called The Lamentations of Isis from CD Ancient Egypt. So I'm talking on the topic of the meaning of Christmas symbolism. And to really appreciate the symbolism of this event, it said we need to have a good understanding of alchemy and Kabbalah. And we've talked about both on the show to a level that we can, that's appropriate. It's quite a deep subject. But these sciences, the alchemy is a process of transformation, we do through transmutation, and the Kabbalah is the tree of life. So the tree of life is like a map of all our inner parts, all our different dimensions, and if you'd like, sort of like a map of where we are and where we want to go, a two-dimensional map. So for the Christ that I was saying is a cosmic force, for us to be able to incarnate that force, or for it to be born in us, then that force needs to become humanized, because it's a cosmic universal force. It's latent, everywhere in the infinite. But for it to be humanized, he is said to be born, or he is penetrated into the belly of the Divine Mother Kundalini. And this requires a practice of alchemy, or that process of transformation. And the Divine Mother Kundalini, she is gives birth to the Christ. But it's an internal process. So we have our own individual feminine force. And then, the Christ comes and gestates in her womb, and then eventually is born. So like a virginal birth. So the Christ historically was born in a stable surrounded by farm animals. So these animals themselves represent the different parts of our being or ourselves. They represent the inferior parts. So our animal natures, our desires, our passions, angers, jealousies. So everything that we would call the ego, these psychic aggregates, are symbolized by the animals in this stable. So this pure rejuvenating force is born amongst all these desires within us. And these are parts of ourselves that eventually they form a dislike to anything that's of a spiritual nature, and they turn against that force. And so we see this in the Easter events, where we have everyone that's persecuting and betraying the Christ. So these represent parts of ourselves within us that actually betray this force. And we may be shocked to realize this, but it's that duality that exists. Every time we have like an amazing yearning to know our spiritual self, our God, there is another part in our subconscious that actually really detests that. And it's quite fascinating when we discover this duality within us, because a part of us really wants to incorporate, to connect with that force. This other part just like wants nothing to do with it. And this is just one example of the deep inner conflicts that exist within ourselves, within our psyche. There's always different conflicts of interest. All these desires that exist within us, they all want different things, conflicting things. And so that's why it's said we are multiplicity. So within us there's lots of different elements, different wants, different needs, and this can cause some inner turmoil. So I thought, it's interesting to reflect on these psychic aggregates within us, the animals. Then we have the Christ is born in the stable in Bethlehem, so in the Tower of Fire, the place where we're going to awaken the fire, or we have, after the Christ is born, it's like that force of fire. And so we have the wise men that come see the baby and to welcome it into the world, bringing gifts. And as I was researching for this talk, we're commonly known as three wise men, but apparently in the Bible that it was never a number given to the number of wise men, but there were three types of gifts. So the gifts were myrrh, frankincense, and gold. So I think just for ease of sake that there were said to be three wise men. And these wise men actually represent different stages of our inner work. So this is more of the alchemy. The process of alchemy is of transformation. And through that transformation, we go through stages because we don't just start off as, pure and holy. We have, these things called egos that trap our consciousness. And so we need to actually work within. So without this process of alchemy, that Christ force isn't going to be able to be born and cannot grow within us. So the three wise men generally are said to, there's said to be a black man or a dark man, a white man and a yellow man. So these colours, again, represent the process of alchemy. So the black man, we see that colour associates with the start of the work on ourselves. So in that beginning stages, we lack light, we are neglecting our inner reality, we don't know who we are, what's inside of us, so there's complete darkness. And so that's where we all begin. So any master that's ever existed and done the work begins in the black. And so that is just how it is. And so then we work to purify our energies. And then the next wise man, said to be white, is another level of purification. That's when we start to cleanse and really whiten our own energies through the process of transmuting our creative sexual energies, and also by working to awaken consciousness. So all these activities that we do help to whiten our energies. And so then we have the yellow man. This is another stage of the work, so another level of purification. And then we see that they're wearing red or purple gowns or capes or whatever they're called. And this colour, again, is another symbol of another stage. It's like the final stage when we're ready to awaken that fire. It's like we, energetically speaking, we're ready. Now, they bring with them the gifts. So we have the myrrh, frankincense, and gold. And the myrrh is often related to death. So we could say that, that the advent of the Christ is something that, he helps us with the dissolution of our psychological aggregates. So that force after he's born actually grows within us and develops. And so he has that power and that force to help us in the dissolution of these aggregates within us. Even though those aggregates end up fighting against him, he still has the compassion and the love and the force to be able to actually disintegrate them and to pretty much correct that energy. So then we have the frankincense, and frankincense is, you know, in those times was a very, very expensive type of gift, you could say. And frankincense helps to open the atmosphere. It's like opens the energetic atmosphere, so to help raise our level of being. So we see that frankincense is burnt in a lot of churches, and so that helps to us to reach that elevated state. Of course, we don't need incense to do that, but it definitely helps. And especially if we're feeling low, we're feeling down, incense is a great way to help pick us up. And there is a talk that was given quite a while ago on the mysteries of incense, which talks a bit about that and the importance of it. And I'll talk a bit about incense for this time of year in the second part of the show. So we have, the third part of the show. So then the third gift is gold. And gold is symbolizes so many different things. It can symbolize the kundalini, the golden bodies, so the bodies that we have to develop within ourselves so that we can investigate our inner worlds, our inner dimensions. We need these golden bodies. So very simply put, these three gifts also said to symbolize our internal channels of transmuting our creative energies. So if we're familiar, we have two semi-etheric channels within us. Well, there's three channels. One's called Ida, one's called Pingala. And down the center, we have Sushumna. And also, we can understand these two channels. One is a yin, one is like a yang. So one's a heating energy, one's a cooling energy. Feminine, masculine also relates to the pillars of the Kabbalah, the Tree of Life, the Pillar of Mercy, the Pillar of severity or justice. And then we have the central pillar is the pillar of equilibrium. So likewise, these pillars, these channels within us where we move our energies upwards, and then we awaken the kundalini or the gold, essentially, through the sushumna, which goes through up the spinal column. And so all of these things help us to purify, to work to elevate our energies. So I'll go to another track break. And this is from the same CD. It's called The Boat of Millions of Years. So we'll be back to continue on the symbolism of Christmas. And we're back on the Gnostic Waves. Sorry. Talking on the symbolism of Christmas. Now, I was just speaking on the three wise men, how they symbolize the different stages of our work, inner work and development in the process of the alchemy, the science of transformation. And I forgot to mention that they are guided by the star in the east to where the Christ is. And well, symbolically, east is, you know, the rising of the sun. We have symbolizes birth, and when the sun sets, it symbolizes a death. So it's, you know, they're heading towards the east, so in the direction of the birth of that force. Now, the star itself represents our innermost, our inner being, our inner light, our father, our true intimate. And this light guides us to where the birth of the Christ is, or the Christ force within us. And so it's through that Christification that we reach the being, our Father within us, and obviously through the Divine Mother, because without the Divine Mother, the Christ wouldn't be born. So it's not, we need both those masculine and feminine forces, and they both have different roles within us. And so this star is like a guiding light, so our own inner star. And so we have the seal of Solomon, it also represents the Seal of Solomon, which we understand is a six-pointed star, and it forms, we can see it forming by the joining of two triangles. So one triangle that's facing upwards, the point apex facing up, and the other triangle, the apex facing down, and then they meet and they form that Seal of Solomon, the six-pointed star. And this is the symbol of Tifereth, which is actually in the center of the Tree of Life. And this central point is often related to the Christ force. It's often also related to sacrifice, which is what the Christ is embodying and showing us, symbolizing. And through his work, through his sacrificing, he is joining our superior forces with our inferior forces, and so helping us have the strength and the power to work on those inner darker elements within us that are keeping us asleep, keeping us trapped, keeping us in karma, in recurrences and pain. And so through awakening that force, we can then unify the superior parts of our being with the inferior parts of our being, and to have that unity once again, which is our birthright. And so without that Christ force, we will only reach so far on that path. And so that path, that part in the middle of the Tree of Life, is the central point where we work to we work upwards, and then our higher parts of our being are working downwards to connect with us, and that center is the first place where we can actually like coexist, energetically speaking. So that's something to keep in mind, that we're guided. Our work is guided by that star within us. Now, it's said that, moving on to different symbolism, so more modern day symbolism, where we have the Christmas tree. And it says that every, you know, person that's working on this path has to erect this tree of life, or the Christmas tree. It's often a pine tree, and, you know, well adorned. So the Christmas tree, we know, has different lights on it. It has a star at the top, or if we don't have lights, it has tinsel to symbolize the same thing. Lots of, you know, other different trinket things that have developed over the years. But essentially, the tree is about awakening our chakras, awakening the different Sephiroth within us. So kabbalistically speaking, those different regions, waking them up, and creating that light. So when we are totally awakened and developed, then our lights are on. And it's easy to relate that to the Christmas tree, where all the lights are shining. And also that star that's shining right at the top can represent the crown chakra that we have. So that is the top chakra, or called the Lotus of 1,000 Petals, or Sahasrara Chakra. And then the tree itself symbolizes, or is contained in, the vertebral column, so the spinal column that I talked about before, which is where the Tower of Fire is going to go through. So, yes, the Christmas tree symbolizes a complete awakened being, all parts united and lit up, and shining for everyone to see and to enjoy. So then we have Santa Claus. He enters the house traditionally through the chimney. Now, the chimney is said to represent our spinal column. You know, it's straight, it's long, it's narrow, and the spinal column's where our inner work is done. So to have the Santa Claus climb down is something, again, symbolic. He is a force that I've read a couple of things about. So that force can represent our being, you know, our father that is finally coming down to us and to give us things, give us gifts. It's also said to represent Melchizedek. Melchizedek is king of the world, and he is actually He knows more about us than we would realize. And so he, that whole saying of being naughty and nice is, goes back to the, how well have we worked during the year? So it's about the inner work. And so if we've worked well, we've, you know, done lots of meditations, worked on the ego, you know, been less angry, been less egotistical, then, you know, we'll be granted these gifts. And if not, well, you know, we better work harder next year, essentially. And so these gifts from Santa Claus, they invite us to continue on the, in our work towards the absolute. So yeah. And these gifts are also for those that have reconquered their childhood in their mind and in their heart. And it's interesting, this whole childhood or childlike focus on Christmas, because often it's, you know, it's the children that really get the most out of Christmas. It's, that's where it's still quite magical, and you know, Santa's still something that is real and exists, you know, until the illusion is broken and the kids realize that Santa's actually the parents. But still, there's that childlike innocence that is needed to appreciate Christmas and also to actually progress on the spiritual path. And yeah, so we need that the essence within us to actually to progress. Now, today is actually the 22nd of December and is the first day of Capricorn, so the zodiacal sign of Capricorn. And it's worth mentioning here on tonight's program related to Christmas, because it's recommended that during this month, if we are doing the esoteric practices to connect with the forces of Capricorn, so we can do that. And each zodiacal sign has certain meditations, it has certain incenses to burn. And so for Capricorn, it's said to burn pine. And we know that pine relates to the Christmas tree. So I thought I would read up and mention a bit about the pine, because it seemed like it, you know, wasn't, it's not a coincidence that the pine is the element or the perfume to burn at this time. The element of the pine, the elemental, I should say. So we know that everything has a spiritual part, a spiritual counterpart. Obviously humans, animals, plants, vegetables, even minerals. So the spiritual part of the pine is associated with the mind and helping us to heal our mind and for it to regain its childlike nature, to regain that simplicity, that order, and to allow it to function again as a delicate and sensitive instrument of our inner being, of our higher being and self, as opposed to having a really chaotic monkey mind that takes us here, there, everywhere, and gets us, you know, we get trapped in thinking, we get trapped in fantasies and fears. I've been observing fear lately and how the mind really is a tool for fear. Doesn't have to be, but it does. And so we get into fearful thinking or worrying or preoccupations, and then that's it. We've really abused the mind, the intellect, and we've drained ourselves of energy. And so this is, you know, one of the great things about this inner work is that we can realize where it is that we're actually draining ourselves and work to stop it. But, you know, of course it takes a lot of observation, strong vigilance to actually see this and change it. But anyways, so I thought I'd mention that. So helping at this time, really trying to reconquer that innocence within us. Because truly Christmas is for the children, but not just the young children. It's for that inner child within us, or we could say our essence. And it's through the progression, the development and awakening of this inner essence that we then become closer to awakening the revolutionary, amazing force of the cosmic Christ within us. So it starts back in that childlike nature, that childlike simplicity.